This morning, if you have your Bibles, you can look it up if you would like to. 1 Corinthians 2 chapter 1 through 5. It'll be on the screen also. You know, Brian was talking, why is it that we don't talk more about the Holy Spirit? It's as real, folks, as God the Father, God the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And I pray today that every one of you can feel the presence of the Holy Spirit. When you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and you were baptized, He offered to you that Holy Spirit. Now, what you've done with it, you may have it stuck in the drawer. You may have it, if you go there and look where you keep your underwear, it may be there. I don't know. It could be anywhere. But hopefully you're using it. You're using it each and every day. Brian said sometimes we think that, you know, maybe we don't talk about the Holy Spirit because we feel that it's a scary subject to talk about. It's something that we were never really talked about a whole lot. Well, when I come up as a kid, as a lot of these young kids here today that's still in here listening this morning, when I come up, and we'd have revival every year, but Olive Branch would have revival every year. Now, Olive Branch's revival was different than Cottage Grove's revival or anybody else's revival that I'd go to throughout the year, and I'd usually have to make five or six of them. But Olive Branch's was a little different. Pete's thinking, well, how was it different, Mike? Well, I'll tell y'all how it was different. It was because they had a preacher that would preach. And he would talk about hell, and he would talk about the Holy Spirit, and he would talk about the Father, the Son. And back then, there was no air conditioners, and they'd raise those windows. And there by that cemetery, and Granddaddy would put me where at the end, and he would always put me right by him. He'd put me on the end, put his arm around me. That way, I wouldn't sit with Grandma and Granddaddy, but you wasn't going to act up. You go act right. And boy, I tell you, you'd have that night air and them crickets and them frogs and all that racket out in that cemetery coming up through that window, and I'd be sitting right there by it. I couldn't deal with it. I'd have to get up and get over in the middle over by grandmother, because I knew if I get over there by her, things would be better. So it would scare you to death. And when they were talking about the Holy Spirit, 9 times out of 10, they were talking about the Holy Ghost. And when they got to talking about the Holy Ghost, and I'm looking out that window, and I'm thinking, this is a ghost? Where's it coming from? What's going to happen with this Holy Ghost? I couldn't sit there. I had to get as close to the middle as I could and get tucked in with grandmother and whoever else was sitting over there. And that was the way that we grew up, folks. Today, in today's churches, in today's world, we don't hear much about the Holy Spirit or the Holy Ghost. And I think that that is a shame, really and truly. When we started putting Grace Life together, we talked about the Holy Spirit being front and center because it's as much as the Son and the Father. It needs to be front and center of everything we do. Paul knew this. Paul knew it better than anyone, because Paul had been to the point that he was there when Stephen had been killed. He was there telling them boys, stone him to death. He may have even threw a stone. I don't know. But he was there, and he seen the heavens open. He was there, folks. He saw lots of things. And then when he saw the Lord appear to him, on the road, the heavens opened, and he knew for sure that this is real. This is for real. This is not something that is I'm dreaming. This is not something that I'm not aware of. And it humbled him so much. It humbled him so much that he could not get over how weak that he felt. The weakness in him was so great. And that's what I want us to talk about this morning. He says in 1 Corinthians 2, 1 through 5, when I first came to you, dear brothers and sisters, I didn't use lofty words or impressive wisdom to tell you God's secret plan. For I decided while I was with you, I would forget everything except Jesus Christ, the one who was crucified. I came to you in weakness, timid and trembling, and my message and my preaching were very plain. Rather than using clever and persuasive speeches, I relied only on the power of the Holy Spirit. I did this so that you would trust not in human wisdom, but in the power of God. This is a reading of God's word for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You see, folks, when Paul realized how weak he really was compared to Jesus Christ himself, when Jesus came to him on the road to Damascus, he realized at that given moment, I am nothing. I'm not any more than what we think about a bug that you get smashed on the floor. I am nothing. He was brought to the lowest part like a snake. He was on his belly. And can you imagine how he felt? He had no power whatsoever. And his eyes were taken away from him. Totally dependent upon God sending him someone that would lead him, that would bring him to the place he needed to be and he could put trust in. Well, it's the Holy Spirit that sent Paul, the one that would lead him, guide him, take him where he needed to be. God directed that person. I wasn't there. I don't know everything that I need to know about it, but he was directed to a certain place. Because he couldn't see. And he had to depend upon someone else to guide him. But he says, when I came to you, dear brothers and sisters. Now, you got to stop and think about this. It's in Acts 18. He has already been here and he has established the church in Corinthians that he's talking about. So he's been here before. And so he says, when I first came to you, dear brothers and sisters, when I first came to you, I come to establish the church. I didn't use lofty words and impressive wisdom to tell you God's secret plan. I didn't use fancy words. I didn't use things that you couldn't understand. I wanted each and every one that heard the word of God to know and understand exactly what it was that he was trying to say. And so we see that Paul is determined that everyone hear the word of God. The secret plan. What is the secret plan? I think, well, Mike, I don't know. I didn't know we had a secret plan. Well, sure we do. If you do not know God, if you have never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, if you've never made that commitment, you don't have a clue about what we're talking about right now as far as the Holy Spirit goes. He was offering his salvation to everyone, every one of us, everybody that would accept him as their Lord and Savior. He was talking about the risen Christ, the one that was crucified for your sin and for my sin. He was talking about this Jesus. He said, I'm totally talking about the secret plan. For I decided while I was with you, I would forget everything except Jesus Christ, the one who was crucified. So, folks, the secret plan is the salvation that it's offered to you through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It's not only that salvation that he offers to you, but once you accept it, the Holy Spirit is given to you, the Holy Spirit's poured out upon you. And when that Holy Spirit is poured out upon you, it is your duty. You need to take that word and to go and tell someone about the secret plan. If they don't know, they need to come to know. They need to accept that salvation so that they can have access to the Holy Spirit just like you do. Folks, you say, well, Mike, let's talk about this Holy Spirit. How do you know you got the Holy Spirit in you? Folks, I have people tell me all the time, you don't have the Holy Spirit in you. You haven't. You're just not, Mike. I don't care what anybody says. I have no, I could care less what anybody thinks about whether I have the Holy Spirit in me or not. I'm going to tell y'all something, folks. Some 25 years ago when I started thinking about preaching. I wasn't really thinking about it. I had just begun to think that I could serve the Lord in some areas that I hadn't before, and that I had stepped up to try to do a few things that I hadn't done before. And I was new at it, and it was really, really scary. It was really scary to think that I'm going to serve the Lord in a capacity that I've never done before. And so one day, guess what? My preacher was gone. So I get a phone call. Mike, Andrea was there. Mike, I need you to do his funeral. Do what? Do a funeral? I never done a funeral in my life. And you go throw me out there to do a funeral? Brian may have been there. I don't know how many years he'd been up there at Rich Wade, but that's 25 years ago nearly. And but Andrea was there to sing. And when she got there and I got there, she seen, I might not make this funeral. I might be the one that's going to be in the casket pretty quick, because I was tore down, folks. I mean, I was tore down. And it's funny today, but it wasn't funny that day, was it, Andrea? And Andrea said, if I could find a Xanax or something, Mike, I'd just give it to you. I said, I don't generally take it, but I might take it. I mean, you know, I was so tore up, folks, that you can't imagine how bad I was. And I'm thinking to myself, I don't know. I don't know how I'm going to do this. I don't know what I'm going to. And to get it, get this, this man, I met him like one time. I didn't really know him. He was from up in Kentucky. He was the boyfriend of a lady that went to church with us. And I didn't know that he was hooked up with these people up in Kentucky that I knew. But when they got there that morning, they looked at me and they said, Mike, what are you doing here? And I said, what are y'all doing here? I knew the son-in-laws, his son-in-laws, two of his son-in-laws. I didn't put them with him, and they didn't put me with him either. And they were thinking, they knew me from back in the day. And they're thinking, and I said, Mike, they said, Mike, what's going to be the deal? What are you doing? I said, I'm going to be doing the service. That one was really tore up. He got his wife over there, and they had a big discussion about it. And it was really bad, folks. But you know what? God showed up. The Holy Spirit became part of me that day. He showed me what the Holy Spirit was. You can talk about it. You can talk about it from now on. But until he lays that thumb on you, and he says, Mike, you got to calm down. You got to be my word. You got to be the one to deliver my word today. You are the vessel. I'm going to fill you up, and you're going to pour it out. And I done that funeral, and I couldn't tell you two words of what I said. But I guess it was okay. It was fine, wasn't it? I guess. And I was glad I didn't take a Xanax, because I had to drive to Kentucky to do the gravesite, and I probably wouldn't have got up there. But it was the most scariest thing that I had ever encountered. And yet, God showed up. He got me right through it. Everything I needed, he was there for me. He provided for me everything. But folks, when I came to that funeral that day, I came in weakness. I came knowing that I was nobody. I came knowing that I was the least of the least. I came timid. I came trembling. And folks, let me tell you something. When I came this morning, I came weak. I came timid, and I came trembling. Brother Hobson told me one time, he said, Mike, if you're coming to approach the throne of God and you're not nervous, you're not trembling, you're not timid, you're not in your state of weakness, he said, you need to go home and don't come back, because he said, you're depending entirely too much upon yourself. Amen. Folks, this is what Paul knew. You receive the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is going to pour out upon you. He's going to give you everything you need. every day. You know, second time that I could feel the Holy Spirit with me as much or more than any time, more than the first time, was the first kid's funeral I had to do. That was so hard, so hard. And yet God was there. He was there for me, and I'm thinking all that day, all that morning and evening, I thought, I cannot do this. But he was there for me. You know, the Holy Spirit is a part of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. What did he tell us that we read a while ago? He said, I will, you know, the Spirit, the living water is the Spirit. Haven't yet given it to you. Haven't yet sent it back. But I will. What did he tell the people in Acts, the first chapter? What was he saying there? He was saying that right there, as he was ascending, he was saying, they were asking about the dates of when he was going to, let's just back up and read what he said. He said, once we were eating with them, he commanded them, this is talking to the disciples. He says, do not leave Jerusalem until the Father sends you the gift he promised. As I told you before, John baptized with water, but in just a few days, you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Now, this is Acts 1:1. He says, you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. And he replied, the Father alone. Well, they asked, so when the apostles were with Jesus, they kept asking him, Lord, has the time come for you to free Israel and restore our kingdom? And he replied, the Father alone has the authority to set those dates and times, and they are not for you to know. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witness, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. After saying that, he was taken up into the cloud while they were watching. He ascended into heaven. But he said, y'all will be receiving the Holy Spirit. He had to ascend to the Father before his Spirit could come back to us to live with us. Think about this. How great a gift is the Holy Spirit to you. Folks, we got Christmas coming. We got seasonal things coming up where we will be giving away lots of things. We will be giving away all kinds of food baskets and different things. Y'all have given me and Tammy a gift this morning, Brian and PJ. Could never thank you enough for being the congregation that you are. Such a loving, giving congregation. And what you mean to each one of us. But you hadn't given us nothing. You hadn't given us anything compared to what God has given us. But he didn't only give it to me and Brian. He gave it to every one of you. Every one of you. He died upon a cross to pay your sin debt. And he sent back the Holy Spirit after he ascended, that you can have this Holy Spirit available to you each and every day. Woo! That's the two best gifts you'll ever receive. You cannot ever receive gifts any better than that. And Christmas coming, you probably hear that again. But that's just the way it is. You can never, ever receive anything any greater than God's gift of salvation. And the gift of the Holy Spirit. Amen. But Paul said, my messaging, my preaching were very plain. He said, rather than using clever and persuasive speeches, I relied on the power of the Holy Spirit. Just what I've been telling you. Relied on the power of the Holy Spirit. Folks, I rely upon the power of the Holy Spirit every day. Every day. What I tell you about my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is from the Holy Spirit. What I tell you on Sunday morning is from the Holy Spirit. It comes from the Holy Spirit that's within us. And that's why when we talked about the church and we talked about establishing the church, it has to be grounded in the Holy Spirit. That is one of the main things, that the Holy Spirit has to be part of our DNA. If you're trying to put a church together and you're not going to talk about the Holy Spirit, not that we're going to try to scare everybody to death, but we're just wanting you to know what the Holy Spirit is, then if you're not going to talk about it, what's the use of putting a church together? You're not going to do anything. Not going to do one form thing. And so it's all about you. It's all about what people that come want it to be about them. It's not about them. It's not about me. It's not about you. It's about Jesus Christ and Him crucified and the Spirit that He left with us. Whew. I'm going to tell you, folks, that's the most awesome, awesome thing. And so when we put together a church, we put that together that it can be for His glory and not ours. But he said, I relied on the power of the Holy Spirit, and I did this so that you would trust not in human wisdom, but in the power of God. What would a church look like, folks, if we put a church together, if you just stop and think about it, and we depended upon the wisdom of the people, the wisdom of the people that put it together, the wisdom of the people that's there, and we did not depend upon God to be present with us each and every day. What would it look like? Woo, it'd be a mess, wouldn't it, bro? Yeah, it'd be worse than a zoo. Amen. It'd be terrible. So we have to include not only the Father and the Son, but the Holy Spirit. It's His power. It's God's power. It's His power that lives within us. And that is who we depend upon. In the very beginning, I'll open it up to it right quick. I want you to look at Genesis 1. Just look at what it says right here. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was formless and empty, and darkness covered the deep waters. But the Spirit of God was hovering over the surface of the waters. The Holy Spirit was there, folks, that day. The Spirit of God hovered over those waters. And then God began to put this earth together. Not without the Holy Spirit. Not without the Son. They were all there. All three were there. So I want you to stop and I want you to think about this Holy Spirit as we... You think about our church and you think about why did we do this? Why did we do that? I want you to know why we done it. Because it's all about God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Amen. So folks, as you hear about our DNA and you hear about people asking you, well, what is Grace Life Church? Who is Grace Life? We've been talking about it now. And probably next week we will get through talking about it and move on to get into our fall and Christmas stuff as we begin to each year. But as we end next week, folks, let's see, next week's Communion Sunday. And we're going to be talking about community. And that's what communion is. And we're going to be talking about our church and how we, as a church, are a small community within ourselves. But we don't want to be just in ourselves. We want to go out into the world. We want to take this small church into the world and tell the people about the secret plan of God. We want to be the one to spread His word. As we read in the reading a while ago, on the board, there's not anything we're going to do, not one form thing you're going to do to earn your salvation. It's by the grace of God. He tells us that in Ephesians 2. It's by His grace that we all are saved. It's by His grace that He sent His Son Jesus to die. It's by His grace that you have this Holy Spirit. It's not anything you're going to do. So when you receive the Holy Spirit, you're going to say, well, I'm going to take me a little nap, Mike. I'm going to the easy chair and take me a little nap. And then by the time I wake up, I forgot about what I received. It's not about that, folks. You take you a little nap to get your power nap, I call it, to get your strength up to go out into the world to tell others about Jesus Christ. I hope if you haven't in a while and that you have the opportunity this week to talk about Jesus to someone else, to tell them about God's secret plan, but tell them about the Holy Spirit that lives within you. I hope that you have many, many stories about the Holy Spirit that has guided you just like He has me. I could tell you stories after story after story where the Holy Spirit has been with me. I can just tell you when the peace that He offers to me, the joy that He offers to me, what joy, like Tammy said this morning, we have when we come together to be with y'all on Sunday morning. And the peace throughout the week that He offers, it comes through the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit that lives within me. I hope you feel that. I hope you know that. And I hope that you, if you haven't been taught that, if you haven't been one to be in a church, maybe not a church period, or maybe a church that hadn't spoken about the Holy Spirit, I pray that you come and talk to me or Brian one about it. Just say, hey, we need to talk about the Holy Spirit because I'm not familiar enough with the Holy Spirit. I need to know that this is part of God. I need you to confirm this. We can do that, folks. But just give God the praise that He sent back this helper in this coming week and tell someone else about it. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.